the Recency Bias Special Edition. So special that I'm not doing it alone. Zach with you here, managing editor at Rabbit Habs, and here the deputy editor at rabbithabs.com, Ian Boisvert, because despite the fact that there's supposed to be 5 days off, there's a little bit of news, Ian.
Just a little. If you haven't heard of it yet, I don't know if you've got any sort of internet connection or any sort of pulse on what's going on.
I'd be confused as to who's listening to this, and yet somehow has yet to hear the news. Like, if we're breaking it, that would be shocking.
Well, I would assume they would have read the headline that was going to come with this, but
yeah.
People don't read anymore. That's why they listen to us.
Exactly. So tell the people.
Well, Mark Bergevin apparently put his friendship with Michelle Therrien aside.
Out of the
foxhole. What needed to be done in the eyes of many, and fired Michelle Therrien and hired Chloe Julien, which, if you've been keeping up with anything we've been doing on Rabbit Habs, all of our contributors were wrong in one way or another.
Yeah.
No one was completely wrong. No one was completely correct. But the general sentiment was that this was a shocking move.
Yeah. Can we just hold? We'll do a bit right now called Can We Talk About What I Was Right About? I was the only one right about anything, I think. And it was that the Bruins, as slimy and dickish as they could be, they were not going to refuse Julien permission to talk to the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, and my thing there was I don't like the rule that you have to ask for permission. You fired this guy. What does it matter to you if he wants to go work somewhere else? But it works the same way as sort of offer sheets do, where as long as that's in the rule book, we should expect people to take advantage of that. And if I'm the Boston Bruins, I don't care how slimy it is. You don't let him go to a divisional rival. I think it's kind of a silly move by the Bruins. There was respect for Julien there, and there's some financial implications that were made with this we can get into a little bit later. But for me, from a pragmatic standpoint, I didn't understand it at all. You know, how do you let this happen? But I guess, the general sentiment is, well, this has never happened before, so it probably never will, which makes, just about as much sense as anything else.
That's a good sentiment for the world that large today. Let's start at the fact that, though, we were wrong on the forum this morning. Go and read it just to see how wrong we were. We basically all said this would be an interesting time to fire Therrien, but just because of the foxhole stuff last season and our expectation of Bergevin was that it wasn't going to happen. So how shocked were you when you found out at whatever it was, 4:30 today, that not only had they fired Therrien, but that Julien had been brought in?
Yeah, it's interesting because we had heard a lot come out of Florida that they were potentially interested in asking the Bruins for permission to speak with Claude Julien. But the Canadians there was no such report to come out of the Canadians. And then it happened today, and you're kind of like, well, of course this is what happened. If there's anything to be learned from how Marc Bergevin does business, is that you cannot expect a thing he's going to do. I got the same feeling I did today than I did when Montreal acquired Vanek a few years ago.
Yeah.
It was sort of like, I didn't know that we were even in the running for this. And that's something that you pointed out on the forum was you didn't even think that Bergevin was going to ask Boston for permission to speak with Julien. And I thought you were right. I thought we were going to wait till the end of the season and play this out, as it goes. But yeah, it's just a shocking move. But at the same time, when you think of Bergevin, it's sort of a meta shock in the fact that you shouldn't really be shocked that he does something like this.
No. And that was kind of that was my second or third thought once I just got over my initial excitement about the whole thing was, man, does Bergevin operate in the dark? I guess the most leakage we ever saw from the camp was when the Subban trade was going down. There was some discussion of that. Everything else is done completely. It's the absolute opposite of the Trump White House is what it is. There are very few leaks. The only thing they have in common with the White House right now is the most Russians.
Yeah, that, fair point.
Yeah.
And Alex Radulov is apparently a coach killer now. So we've got Russians taking down regimes left and right.
So let's get on the coach killer thing. If there was anybody who killed Therrien on this one, for me it's the words of Carey Price following that loss to Boston the other night.
Yeah, I think that did a lot of it. to a lesser extent, and stay with me here, but I think, and I'm not blaming him for this, but the Shea Weber acquisition had to have done something to influence this, the decision to fire Michelle Therrien. You gave him the toy he wanted. You gave him the tool that he wanted, and you got rid of the player that is, by all accounts, a better defenseman suited for the way that the NHL is headed.
Yeah.
You got your rock on defense, and you still couldn't make it work. The penalty killing is putrid. The zone defense is just, it's awful. There's no saving grace in the defense in the Canadiens' end. They're very good offensively. That's not an issue. They're not scoring right now, but there's signs saying that they should be headed in the right direction.
Yeah.
But I don't want to blame Shea Weber because he's played well. It's not that. It's the fact that Bergevin said, all right, I'm going to give you this tool. I'm going to take a lot of heat for it, but here we are, and you're not making it work. So to some extent, I think that, that played into it. Of course, the Carey Price stare down. Now, if you look at that, what implication did that have? The meeting that Mark Bergevin had with the team's leaders, I think that was about a week ago at this point. What did that have on this? A lot of questions that we probably won't get answers to. But at the end of the day, it's deployment for Therrien that's always been an issue. Given the players he's wanted, he still couldn't make it work.
Now, for me, I think it's probably all of those things probably fed into it, but there absolutely at this point has to be something was said in that leadership meeting that gave Bergevin reason to do this.
Yeah, because there's reports saying that the decision to fire Therrien and bring in Julien was made before Sunday's game, which is fishy to say the least. But, Bergevin doesn't make – I don't think Bergevin makes this decision on his own.
No.
I think, you've built this team around a leadership core, not a coach. You've perched this right down the middle with Pacioretty, with Price, with – Weber, if that's your big three, then that's who you go with. And I think at the end of the day, players are much harder to replace than coaches. When you hire only French-speaking coaches, you kind of box yourself into a corner. And that's somewhat of the issue here is, well, I can't get another French-speaking coach, so I have to make the roster work for him. Julien fell directly into their lap. I think the leaders of this team definitely had something to do with the personnel changes to be made. I think what's more interesting moving forward is what's the rest of the coaching staff going to look like at the end of this season?
Good point. Like, does JJ Daniel may make it through the rest of the year, but at some point somebody's got to realize what we've all worked out here is that when he's in charge of something, it sucks.
Yeah, I mean, he was on the power play last year.
Yeah.
It was awful. Penalty kill was good. And you put him on the penalty kill and now it stinks.
Yeah.
I don't know who else you even bring in for that. I don't know specialty coaches. I doubt, you could ask a fan who would know that. But right now you've got a big three behind the bench. You've got Stéphane Waite. I mean, not really behind the bench, but he's one of the best goaltending coaches, or so we've heard.
Yeah.
You've got Kirk Muller running the power play, and he's done a pretty decent job given the roster he's been given on most nights. And now you've got, a bench boss who has employed one of the most effective defensive structures over the past 6-7 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going back to their cup win in 2011. Their defensive, the defensive side of their roster, I would take Montreal's just about any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at it now, 33-year-old Zdeno Chara, Johnny Boychuk, and then you kind of drop off. You have Andrew Ferentz. You have Thomas Caberle for the second half of the season, who came in to fix the power play, and they scored one power play goal in the playoffs. Dennis Seidenberg at 29, he was quite good. But then you've got a lot of nobodies, Matt Hunwick, Shane Knighty, Matt Barkowski.
Wow.
I look at that defense and I say, how can Montreal's defense not be better than that?
Yeah, absolutely. And to counter that, there's the argument that you'll hear from some people, stupid people, that Claude Julien, so he brings all this defense, but he's not an offensive guy. Here, and I retweeted this from the Montreal Bias account, follow @TheMontrealBias on Twitter. from two. So here's where the Bruins finished under Claude Julien offensively. So ranks in goals each season since 08-09. They were second in 08-09, in 10-11 fifth, 11-12 third, 13-14 third, and last season, 15-16, they were fifth. As their talent declined, they fell as low as fifth in the entire NHL in goals scored. So I'm not worried that Claude Julien is going to come in and stymie the offense of the Montreal Canadiens. So we've kind of covered the Terrier bit now. Let's talk about what that would have been worth celebrating on its own. But now we're bringing in my opinion, one of the best coaches in the NHL. I think this really puts the Canadiens into another level from where they found themselves with Michel Therrien. The ceiling for them is completely changed now.
Yeah, and that's to a certain extent, I was a little upset with that, because now I have expectations.
Oh, yes. I know, right?
This roster under Therrien, I never believed they were going to do anything worth, you know, getting up out of your seat for. Now they have a coach that's won a Stanley Cup in this analytic-based era of the NHL. The Bruins have dominated puck possession over the greater part of their, I guess you can say, dominance, you know, by today's standards it might be. But, there's an expectation now, and I think it sends a message to everybody in that room. Yeah. If you don't make this work now, we're going to have to figure something else out.
Yeah.
Brendan Gallagher, I think, said, you know, this is a wake-up call for all of us. We need to get going. And he's right. And, you know, if you look down that roster, you're looking at a Nathan Beaulieu. You're looking at maybe, I don't know, a Greg Patterson. These guys that are tied to, you know, some sort of trade rumor that, If you're not going to make it work now, you're slowing us down. Our window is now.
Yeah. So with this, I think all those evaluations and rumors we'd heard about trades become reset at the very least. My main concern was that Galchenyuk might get traded. Was because that was also the rumor mill was churning that out much more strongly than it was the firing of Michel Therrien. But I think all that gets reset because really everything gets reset in a way under a new head coach. Like we could see a big changes in the way this team does everything. Maybe not in the first week or so, but there's enough time, certainly enough time left in the season for the Canadiens to shift the way they play. And like you say, there's huge breakdowns in this team, but there are positives in the way they play. I mean, they are still a top 10 team in the NHL and still leading their division. There's good things in this team. Carey Price can easily bounce back. I'm really excited to see what Claude Julien can do with this team. We're finally going to know what we think the Montreal Canadiens can be, because I'm no longer putting them under the handicap of Therrien holding them back. You know, even if they're all playing their best, I still felt Therrien would hold them back. Now I think I've got a guy who can do it.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. You look at – I remember I was watching, you know, Twitter, as I often do, and it's just – all these Galchenyuk trade rumors are floating around, and you've got him being involved in a Duchesne package, and you have him being involved in just about any other package you could think of. And it just didn't make sense. Why is this floating around? You know, you don't give up on this kid now. And that would only happen in a team that's run by Michel Therrien, the guy that hasn't been using him properly. And I honestly think there was a disconnect between what he wanted to do with them and what ownership and Mark Bergevin wanted to do with Alex Galchenyuk. He needs to be a number one center now. We can't wait 2-3 more years for him to be a number one center, because then we won't have the same team we have. Shea Weber is, you could say he's declining now. I wouldn't go that far. But 2-3 years down the road, who is Shea Weber? 2-3 years down the road, how much are you paying for Carey Price?
Yeah.
How much are you paying for Max Pacioretty, who's tied for second in the league in goals, or maybe it's third at this point? And it's a sweetheart deal. He's making $4.5 million a season.
No kidding.
That's insane. And I had to, you know, plug the Connecticut kid, but that's no big deal.
That's required.
The C on his jersey stands for Connecticut.
Absolutely.
You say college boy, I say Connecticut.
I think it stands for all of the above. Because
that's fine.
For me, Connecticut and college boy are one and the same.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So what now? What's next?
It's odd because you new coach comes in. There's all this optimism, as we've very clearly said. But do you look at this and go, Mark Bergevin needs to still acquire a number two center, a top four defenseman. Maybe.
Yes.
I think he acquires definitely one of those. I'm not certain he gets both. Yeah. I mean, you look at what Arizona is asking for Martin Hansel, yeah, and you hang up the phone on him.
Yeah.
You hang up the phone on John Shaka immediately. They want a first round pick, Michael McCarron, and another prospect, which is asinine. For a guy who I think he might have 12, 13 points this season, I don't understand the hype there. But now it's, I don't know if Montreal is going to come out of the break flying, because I don't know what damage Therrien's system will have been done under a new coach. Mm. You have to think there might be some growing pains. You wouldn't notice it if you looked at a team like Boston, who's now 3-0 under their head coach.
Yeah, same with Minnesota.
St. Louis is look. I mean, but Minnesota's look great under their new coach too. If you go back to the beginning of the season, but St. Louis has looked great. The Islanders look like an entirely different team under Doug Weight,
yeah.
And that was an inner organizational move.
Yeah,
they took a guy that was standing next to Jack Capuano and moved him 3 feet to the right, and now that team looks like they can push for a playoff spot. If you're not excited about this move from a Canadiens fan standpoint, I don't know what trade or what sort of movement will make you excited about what this team can do.
Absolutely,
you've added a Stanley Cup winning coach, and it didn't. You've added such a huge X factor, and it didn't cost you a damn thing.
No, I think outside of adding a true first line player or a true top two defenseman, I'm talking an all star to this team. I don't think there could have been a bigger acquisition made for how this might change the fortunes of the Montreal Canadiens. This is huge, and here's what we've got now. The Canadiens are into a break. They're 100% healthy, and they're coming back suddenly with Claude Julien as their head coach. I think really at this point, this is the most positive I've felt about the Habs in a couple years now.
It's an absolute reset button.
Yeah.
Everything's falling into place here. The Bruins fired Julien at a perfect time. The Canadiens hit their bye week later than a lot of other teams did. And they hit it healthy, as you mentioned. Gallagher coming back the day before really solidifies that second line. He's not going to play on the first line.
Yeah.
That ship has sailed. There's so much, momentum moving forward, and it's not too late, and there's history to prove that it's not too late. The 8 years ago when the Penguins fired Michel Therrien, it was almost to the exact same date.
Yes.
It was February 15th fired him. And they went on to win the cup. And I'm not comparing these rosters because these rosters aren't the same. Pittsburgh's was stacked and they were underperforming. But that's what a bad coach can do to you. And I'm not saying Michel Therrien was necessarily an awful coach. I think he gets a little bit of a bad rep there. But some of the decisions he makes are unconscionable.
Yeah.
Alex Galchenyuk getting third line minutes for the entire time that he did is unconscionable. The kid is here now and he's ready to play. At that rate, he had a difficult time coming back from his knee injury, but
yeah, he has.
I would love to see Claude Julien just take the leash off him and say, go put up 20 points in the rest of the season.
Is there any chance, and this is almost works two ways, this one. For me, there's no chance that the Habs fire Michel Therrien if Claude Julien is not available. But in that same breath, I think, had the Boston Bruins done us the favor of firing Claude Julien last year when the Habs were in their free fall, maybe P.K. Subban is still on the team. Like, my point being, I think Bergevin decided to do this because at the time he looked at it and said, there's nobody better than Michel Therrien available for me right now. But when Claude Julien became available and the opportunity absolutely opened itself up for him to make this move, he had all the permission necessary. That's why it happened. But I think if Julien is not available, we come back from the break and Therrien is still the coach.
Absolutely. And, I honestly think this is a sort of a second chance moment for Marc Bergevin.
Yeah.
The beginning of last season, I think it was, feels longer than that now, but Mike Babcock was available.
Huh?
I firmly believe he's the best coach in hockey, and they would have made, they as in the media that obsesses over the French barrier, they would have made an exception for Babcock. He has Montreal connections. Yeah.
Yeah, they would have found a way to talk themselves into that.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The same way that they talk themselves into Mueller. I mean, Mueller's a former Canadian. He doesn't speak French, but, you know, they love him in that city, and they would have loved Babcock. And I honestly think Bergevin got into this season, got into the slump, and was kicking himself for not picking up Mike Babcock. Also to take into account that I think Therrien's still under contract for, what, 3 more seasons?
Yeah.
So
and no one's hiring him to get us out of that.
Right. Absolutely. Which, you know, gets back to why Boston might have allowed Julian to move on. Some of the main ideas out of Boston are that their owner, Jeremy Jacobs, is a real penny pincher.
Yep.
And he likes to save a dollar when he can. He's a businessman. You wouldn't blame him. He got out of Claude Julien's $3 million salary. It hurts his team, I think, in the division.
Yep.
But, you know, he got out of that contract. Good on him. I really have nothing else to say on that point. It's everything just fell into place perfectly for the Canadiens. Mark Bergevin totally realized he missed a chance last summer. And you know, people were saying, oh, let's hire Guy Boucher.
Yeah.
Looking back on it now, it's a good thing we didn't hire Guy Boucher. Because
yep.
I'm looking at the Senators, and Boucher is the same coach he was in Tampa Bay.
Exactly.
He plays the trap, doesn't like offense. Look at Bobby Ryan. He's having a terrible season. And I don't think it's Bobby Ryan. So it's everything worked out beautifully here. And, you know, from a Canadiens fan who's never seen a Stanley Cup in his lifetime, that doesn't happen often.
No. And if you need more reassurance, check out the reaction of the fans on Twitter of our divisional opponents. Toronto fans, Ottawa fans, Boston fans, all very upset because they all saw the biggest anchor to holding back the Habs from success was Michel Therrien. And not only is he gone, we now have a very good coach. Like, and that wanted to be the final thing I wanted to talk about before we get out of here. Like, for me, I agree with you. I do, unfortunately, think my Babcock is the best coach in the NHL. But I'm happy to put Claude Julien in the class below. Like, I don't know that there was a better person given the restrictions of they need to be Francophone or we need to have a really good excuse for why we can hire them. I don't know that there's really a better guy that the Montreal Canadiens could get.
Yeah, and I jumped on the Rabbit Habs Twitter account. Tony Marinaro had tweeted, he's, you know, probably, he might be a Hall of Fame coach. He's the best coach in the history of the Boston Bruins. He's a Stanley Cup winner, and he's French. And I tweeted, we can have it all, because it is possible. It just, again, it was this sort of perfect situation. He just happens to hit every single one of those check marks that you would want for a head coach. And he's French. So, you know, from that standpoint, like, I hate the fact that we have to kind of tie ourselves to that he has to be French idea. But this just worked out so beautifully. He is I honestly believe he's in the top 5 of coaches in this league.
Yep.
I didn't think he would get a job again this season. I thought he would have waited it out, probably gotten a lot of better options. But, you know, I can't stress how much of a perfect situation this was. All the dominoes fell beautifully, and everyone at Rabbit Habs ended up with egg on their face. So.
Me a little, just a little less than you, though.
And I'm going to hear that until
until
the end of time.
I'm no Don Cherry. I'll write it out for one episode, and then I move on to other things I'm right about. all right, we'll get out of here. But yeah, I'm feeling really good. Like this is a great spot to be. What a way to change everything. And I'm wondering if the players feel the same in the midst of this 5-day bye week that I thought I was just going to kind of suck about the Habs. Now I'm looking forward to the stretch. I'm looking forward to the playoffs. I'm convinced they're going to turn it around. This is really a real great day, I think, for the Habs.
Yep. Total wake up call. The players should come back and get ready to go. They know the heat is on them now, but at the same time, there's sort of a fresh look at the rest of the season.
Beautiful. All right, you can follow him at BoisvertIan. You can follow me on Twitter at ZachDropsTweets. Of course, the Twitter account for the podcast is at the Montreal Bias, and check out at Rabbit Habs, of course, as well, and rabbithabs.com all time for all that great kind of content we were talking about. Is it predictive in nature? Only if you just read the title, which I think, you know, it's the internet, so most people do. That worked out for us.
Oh, totally. Just read the titles from now on. We'll click them first, but then click, read the titles.
Click and then get out. Yeah, exactly. Right. Good advice. All right, thanks, Ian. Good to have you on, and we'll probably get you covering some more episodes of the Recency Bias when I get lazy into the Claude Julien stretch of the season. It's beautiful. I'm excited.
Looking forward to it.
All right, later, bud.
Later.